this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word with you, open to John chapter 15 with me. John chapter 15. As we continue our study of John's Gospel together, we come now to this chapter, John chapter 15. Over 10 years ago, our family moved into a home in Liberty, Mississippi, where I was called to serve as a pastor there. That was where we were before we came here. And the home we moved into, after I think we had been there 6 to 8 months, there was a home behind us, and there were some guys working on that home, and we happened to be out in the yard that day watching Lydia play or maybe doing some yard work, I can't remember, but the guys working on that house kind of came over close to us and said, "Hey, do you mind if we get some blueberries off these blueberry bushes?" And we were like, "What blueberry bushes?" Because we didn't know they were there. They were on the back of our property, and we don't know who planted them. They were there, and they asked if they could have some, and we said, "Sure, go ahead." And then we realized they were there, and we kind of picked some that year. And we didn't know anything about taking care of blueberry bushes. We didn't know what was involved in it. We didn't know anything about it. But we had a man in the church there in Liberty who was familiar. They had blueberry bushes and they knew how to take care of them. And so I called him up and said, "Hey, can you come look at what we got and just tell me what we need to do?" And he did. He came over, he looked, and he said, "All right, they're very overgrown, so you need to thin them out. You need to... It looks like you got about 6 or 8 blueberry bushes. You need to thin these out so they can get the proper sunlight. You need to prune them back and all these things." And so we went to work because we thought, we've got blueberry bushes. We want good blueberries on them. So let's put the work in and do what we can to get it, to make sure they produce good fruit. And so we did. We pruned and we worked and we thinned out. And every year after that, we were able to get blueberries from those bushes. And our girls loved it when it was blueberry picking time because I think they would eat more than they would pick. But we didn't know how much work went into maintaining and taking care of blueberry bushes. But we quickly learned that if you want them to produce good fruit, you had to make sure the shoots on the bushes were good. You had to get rid of the diseased ones. You had to get rid of the older ones. You needed to make sure they had all the right sunlight. And so there was a lot of work that went into making sure those blueberry bushes were in the right environment to produce the best fruit they could produce. In a similar fashion, that is what God does in our lives. God desires for His people, whom He has saved by Christ, He desires us to be fruitful. And so He will do what He must in our lives to make sure that we are fruitful. You see, to be a Christian that does not produce fruit, that does not produce spiritual fruit, is not possible. Christians saved by Christ are meant to produce fruit. And the Christian, as we will see, only produces that spiritual fruit when they are connected to the true vine, who is Jesus Christ, and then pruned by God the Father so that they will produce more spiritual fruit. This is what we're going to see this morning as Jesus speaks to His disciples, as He speaks to us in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. So let's read now in this passage what Jesus says to us, beginning in John chapter 15, Verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Lord, we come to you this morning. And for every person whom you have saved in this room, we would all say it is our desire to be a fruitful Christian, to bear the spiritual fruit that is in agreement with the salvation, that is in agreement with repentance. We want to be fruitful. But help us to see this morning that spiritual fruit can only come as we are connected to you, Lord Jesus, the true vine, and as we are pruned by you, God the Father. And help us to abide in that. To abide in the times of pruning, to abide in your word, to abide in Christ, so that we will live out a Christ-like life and produce that spiritual fruit which glorifies you and proves that we are your disciples. I also pray for the lost person that as they hear this message today, may their ears be open and may they see that they cannot produce spiritual fruit in and of themselves. The only way they can become the person of God, the child of God that you desire for them to be, is for them to repent of their sin, place their faith in Jesus Christ, and be connected to the true vine, which will make them fruitful. So Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. Work in all of our hearts as we hear from your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, Jesus begins teaching us about the Christian that produces spiritual fruit. And he begins in verse 1 by saying, I am the true vine. This is the last of 7 I am statements that John records in his gospel. If you remember, previously we have seen Jesus say, I am the bread of life, back in chapter 6, verse 35. I am the light of the world, in chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door in chapter 10, verse 7. I am the good shepherd in chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. And I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11, verse 25. And I am the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14, verse 6. And now he comes to chapter 15, verse 1, and he says, I am the true vine. And every one of these I am statements helps us understand who Jesus is in a more greater way. And so we need to consider this morning what Jesus means here in verse 1 when he says, I am the true vine. Because if Jesus is the true vine, then that also means there is a false vine. And he is saying you need to believe in me, the true vine, not the false vine. This imagery that Jesus picks up here in John chapter 15, this imagery of the vine or a vine, it is not new, nor is it exclusive to John chapter 15. In fact, the imagery of a vine goes all the way back into the Old Testament where Israel is pictured as a vine. For example, in the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 80, verse 8, it says that God removed a vine from Egypt, drove out the nations, and planted it. In Isaiah chapter 5, a story is told about a vineyard planted with love and tender care. However, instead of growing good grapes, the vineyard grew wild, inedible grapes. And in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 5, the vineyard is identified as the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, the prophet Jeremiah writes that God said to Israel, I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. And then he goes on to say of Israel, but you have turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine. Israel throughout the Old Testament was the channel through which God's covenant blessings flowed to the world. But Israel proved to be a fruitless and unfaithful vine. And because of their sin, because of their apostasy, Israel became an empty vine and disqualified themselves as the channel of God's blessings. So when Jesus says here in John chapter 15 verse 1, I am the true vine, He is contrasting Himself with the nation of Israel. The covenant blessings given to Israel in the Old Testament are now realized and only come through the true vine, Jesus Christ. As one commentator puts it, he writes, theologically, John's point is that Jesus displaces Israel as the focus of God's plan of salvation, with the implication that faith in Jesus becomes the decisive characteristic of membership among God's people. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, He is saying that the path to God is not through the nation of Israel, it is through Him. What we begin to see here is that Jesus as the true vine is the source of salvation. Jesus is the source of salvation. A truth not believed by the Jews. In fact, if a person went to the religious leaders of Israel and asked how they could be made right or how they could be right with God, they would be instructed to become a part of Israel. They would be told they needed to be circumcised. They would need to bring sacrifices to the altar. They would need to celebrate the Jewish festivals and all the holy days and follow the commands of God throughout the Old Testament. But by saying, I am the true vine, Jesus is saying, you don't have to become a Jew to be saved. That is unnecessary and ineffective. To be saved, you need to follow Me. And have faith in Me. Union with Jesus, connection to the true vine, is the only way to please the vine dresser who is God the Father. So Jesus begins by stating up front, I am the true vine. Life comes through Me. Salvation is not through Israel, it is through Me. It is through placing your faith in Me and the atoning work that I am about to accomplish on the cross for you. That is how you become connected to the true vine. But then into this imagery, into this illustration of Him being the true vine, Jesus goes on to speak of two types of branches. He says there is the branch in Him that does not bear fruit, which is taken away. And then there is the branch in Him that bears fruit. The immediate imagery in the context of John's Gospel and John chapter 15 is that of His disciples. 11 of His disciples are the fruit-bearing branches, and one of His disciples, Judas, is the branch that does not bear fruit. But you need to understand this imagery of these two types of branches goes beyond the 12 disciples to encompass all those connected to or seemingly connected to Jesus. You see, what you and I need to understand this morning, that there has always been within the church those who are genuine believers and those who have just made a profession of faith like Judas but do not possess genuine salvation. So we need to consider this morning what Jesus says about these two types of branches. And so we're going to look at the fruitful branches first and then the unfruitful branches last. And we need to consider these two types of branches because we need to come to terms ourselves. Am I a fruitful branch connected to Jesus the true vine, or am I an unfruitful branch who has just made a profession of faith that was not real and I do not possess genuine salvation? Let's consider the fruitful branches. Of these fruitful branches, Jesus says that every branch that bears fruit, He, the vine dresser, which is God the Father, prunes it. So one of the things that happens in the Christian life as you are abiding in Christ and connected to Christ is that you will be pruned by the Father. Fruitful branches, they are pruned. According to experts from pruning landscape shrubs and pruning landscape trees, and before you think, boy, he's talked about pruning blueberry bushes, and now he's talking about pruning shrubs and trees. He must be really smart about pruning stuff, and I've got some stuff at home that I need pruned, and so I'm going to ask him after the service, what do I need to do? Before you come to me and ask me what you need to do, understand, all I did was Google, how do you prune a bush, and it popped up with this article from the University of Kentucky. I can point you in that direction, but if you come to me after church, say, how do I prune this bush? I'm going to say, cut it down. That's why we don't have any bushes around our home, because I don't want to put the time and the effort into that. It doesn't appeal to me. So don't think that I'm smart and I'm a genius. Nope, I got it off Google. Google, how do I prune? And now it'll take you to everything you need to know. But in this article from the University of Kentucky, it made these following points when it comes to pruning. You need to know when to prune. You need to know where to cut. You need to remove problematic branches first. You need to thin out dense growth, and then you need to prune regularly. Pruning is a time-consuming task, but it is an important task if you want your bushes or your shrubs or fruit trees or fruit plants to look good and be fruitful. This is the reason, again, why we don't have them around our house. We learned our lesson with those blueberry bushes. There's a lot of work. We didn't want to do that, and so when we moved here, we were like, thankfully, they don't have blueberry bushes here at this house, so we're good. And then friends of ours here in the church, Jason and Alicia, brought us strawberry bushes last year. So now we've got strawberry bushes. But hey, they're growing. We amazed ourselves by the fact that we grew strawberries last year. We're looking forward to it again this year. They're pretty easy to maintain. So if you're looking into getting into that, strawberry bushes. But pruning is time-consuming. It's hard work. And just as it is important to prune bushes around your home, and for my family with those blueberry bushes, you have to put the work in if they're going to look good and be fruitful. Well, in our lives as Christians, God the Father, in the same way, puts the work in, the time and the effort in, to prune us so that we will be more fruitful. And the idea behind being more fruitful is that we will look more like His Son, Jesus. He will do everything He can in our lives and everything necessary to make us fruitful, to help us look more like Jesus. And our Father, taking those points from that article I referenced, our Father knows, He knows when to prune. He knows where to cut in our life. He knows what problematic sins need to be removed from our lives. And He knows how to remove those sins from our life that are hindering our growth in holiness and Christ-likeness. And this pruning of the Father occurs regularly throughout our Christian life. Listen to what one writer says of God's pruning of those who abide in Christ. He said, "Your Heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when He is pruning you. Sometimes He cuts away the dead wood that might cause trouble, but often He cuts off the living tissue that is robbing you of spiritual vigor. Pruning does not simply mean spiritual surgery that removes what is bad. It can also mean cutting away the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best. Yes, pruning hurts, but it also helps. We may not enjoy it, but we need it. How does the Father prune us? Sometimes He simply uses the Word to convict us and cleanse us. Sometimes He must chasten us, as Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 talks about. At the time, it hurts when He removes something precious from us, but as the spiritual crop is produced, we see that the Father knew what He was doing. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. And the more fruit we bear, the more the Father has to prune us so that the quality keeps up with the quantity." If we are saved, if Christ has saved you, there are going to be times in your life regularly where God prunes you. And His pruning of you is so that you will be more fruitful and look more like His Son. That's one of the things that it means to be connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. You abide in Him, you're connected to Him, and you're pruned by the Father so that you'll look more like Him. Now, this pruning that the Father does in our lives, it's done for a purpose. I've already established that. It's done so that we will bear fruit. Jesus makes that very point in verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, He, the vine dresser, God the Father, prunes it so that they will bear more fruit. So fruitful branches bear fruit. Jesus goes on to say in verse 4 and 5, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And so Jesus says, if you're connected to me, and you abide in me, and I abide in you, you are going to produce fruit because you're connected to me. And what I have, and the blessings and the promises I've given you will flow from me to you, and you will produce fruit, not in and of yourself. I will do it through you, because without me, you can do nothing. So here's what I don't want you to think that you can go out today in and of your own strength and say, hey, I'm going to produce this fruit in my own strength. I'm going to do this because I believe I can. I'm going to say that I'm going to do it because you will fail. And Jesus makes that clear. Without Him, we can do nothing. So we must abide in Him. We must be connected to Him. We must be pruned by the Father if we're going to bear fruit. Now here's the thing, as we begin to think about a faithful Christian life and what the fruit looks like that comes out of a faithful Christian life, it is easy for us to immediately go to the external things that we see. We might think about the number of people we've witnessed to or won to Christ. We might think about how often we've attended church. We might think about how often we read the Bible and so on. But those external things do not point to a true abiding in our connection to Christ. To be sure, those are things that we as Christians should be doing. We should be evangelizing, sharing the gospel. We should regularly attend corporate worship with God's people. We should be reading God's Word on a daily basis and so on. But those things can be done also by people who are not saved. Unsaved people can do those very same things. So what Jesus is talking about here when He references fruit that Christians bear as they abide in Him, it is not a reference to external things that can be seen, but it's a reference to internal fruit which is produced as we grow in Christ's likeness. And then eventually, as that internal fruit is grown in us, it will come outward and it will be seen. The fruit Jesus is speaking of here in John chapter 15 is really, in its simplest form, the reproduction of the life of the vine in the branch. In its simplest form, the fruit Jesus is talking about, the fruit Jesus is looking for, is the fruit of His life in us. It's the fruit of the Spirit as laid out in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If the fruit of the Spirit are not present in your life, and notice I said present, not perfect, if the fruit of the Spirit is not present in your life, you need to come face to face with the reality that you are not a true believer and thus not saved. There must be something of the life of the vine, Jesus, in you if you belong to God. And if you are in the vine, you will be pruned by the Father so that you will bear more fruit and look more like Jesus, the true vine. I'm never pruned more than when I'm stuck in traffic. How many of you can identify with that? I'm never pruned more than when I'm doing 65 or 70 down the highway and somebody decides to get in front of me doing 45. Because then my patience begins, or my lack of patience begins to show. But all of those things, stuff like that, or whatever sets you off, or whatever tests your patience, or your goodness, or your gentleness, or your faithfulness, or your love, or your joy, your peace, all of those things are the Father pruning you and working in you, saying, look, how are you going to respond? You lack patience. This is an area that I'm working on you in your life. And so when that person pulls in front of you doing 45 miles an hour, how are you going to respond? Are you going to blast your horn at them? Are you going to swerve around them and all the way past them? Or are you just going to take a moment and say, okay, let me take a breath? God will prune you so that you will be more like Christ. If you are in the vine, you will be pruned so that you will bear more fruit and look more like Jesus. But on the flip side, failure to abide in the vine leads to failure to bear fruit. And learning to abide in Jesus means we stay put even during the pruning of the Father so that we will bear more fruit and look like Him. If we will abide and remain in Him, even during the pruning, as it produces more fruit in us, we will experience the benefit of being more fruitful. And Jesus mentions four such benefits here in John chapter 15, as we abide in Him and as we are being fruitful in Him. The first benefit of a Christ-like fruit in the life of a Christian is an empowered prayer life. Note what Jesus says in verse 7, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now that is not a blanket statement that we can ask for anything that we want. We kind of hit on this a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was talking about prayer. It is not saying that we can pray for anything and everything we want and Jesus will automatically give it to us. It is that if you pray in a way that is consistent with My will, in a way that will glorify Me, in a way that you are leaning on Me and My strength and My ability to provide for you rather than trusting in yourself and your own merit and your work, then I will answer that prayer. So we are given an empowered prayer life as we abide in Christ. As we pray, we abide because we know that only by going to God in prayer will our needs be met. As we abide in Jesus, the more we will go to God in prayer. A second benefit of Christ-like fruit in the life of the Christian is that the Father is glorified through our fruit bearing. Jesus says in verse 8, My Father is glorified by this. Glorified by what? That you bear much fruit. Why? So that, through that, you prove to be My disciples. So this is not saying that the Father is glorified because of our own actions. It is saying that the Father is glorified as we abide in Jesus and are obedient to Him in the bearing of fruit. As one commentator wrote of John 15, chapter 15, verse 8, this bearing of fruit, therefore, not only indicates that the followers are true disciples of Jesus, but also that God is glorified in their discipleship. God is glorified as we abide in Christ, as we grow in Christ, as we are obedient to Christ. God is glorified in that. And thus we prove to be His people. So we have an empowered prayer life. The Father is glorified through us and our discipleship and our abiding in Christ. A third benefit of Christ-like fruit in the Christian life is that we have a life filled with love. A life filled with love. Jesus says in verses 9 and 10, just as the Father has loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. In the Christ-centered exposition commentary on John, the authors of that commentary write, God loves Jesus, and Jesus in turn loves us with the same type of love. In response, we love Him and demonstrate our love through obedience. The way we abide in Jesus is to remain in His love, and the way we remain in His love is through obedience. Jesus isn't saying, if you want Me to love you, you have to obey. No, He's saying, if you love Me, you demonstrate it through obedience. Obedience doesn't earn love. Obedience is evidence of love. So as we abide in Christ, and as we are pruned by the Father, we will obey God and know the love of God for us. In turn, experiencing God's love for us, it will cause us to love those around us. Thus, as Christians, our lives will be filled with love. The love of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit towards us. Love from us towards God. Love towards one another. We will be filled with love. And then finally, a final benefit of Christ-like fruit in the life of the Christian. Not just that we'll have love, but we'll have joy. The joy of Jesus. Jesus says in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." If we have been saved by the Creator of joy, then it only makes sense that His joy would fill the very lives of those whom He has saved. To claim that you have been saved by Christ, who is the source of all joy, and be miserable means that something is wrong. Joy in Jesus is inseparable from knowing and following Him. You can't know Him and lack joy. Now, understand, this does not mean that every day is going to be rainbows and sunshine. But it does mean that even when life is hard, even when we're walking, as David says in Psalm 23, through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we feel like the world is crumbling in on top of us, even when we sit in a doctor's office and we hear that sad prognosis or that terrible prognosis that we didn't want to hear, we still have joy in Christ because Christ is far greater than anything else. His joy fills our lives. Ultimately, your joy and your satisfaction is found in Jesus because He's greater than anything in this world. So the fruitful branches, they are those who abide in Jesus through obedience and following Him. They are pruned by the Father as they abide in the vine. And this pruning is so that they will look more like Jesus. In our abiding in the vine as fruitful branches, we enjoy the blessings of an empowered prayer life, bringing glory to the Father, having lives filled with love, loved by God, having a love for God and others, and being filled with the joy of Jesus. This is the experience of fruitful branches. But what about the unfruitful branches? What is their experience? Now let's turn to that now before we conclude our time in God's Word this morning. And let's look at the unfruitful branches. Jesus says to them in verse 2 and verse 6, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." These unfruitful branches are the unsaved. But in the context of John chapter 15, they're not only the unsaved, but they are the ones who outwardly look like they have a connection to Jesus, but truthfully they are not a part of Him. They are like Judas. They seem connected to Jesus because they are around Him, but the fact that they do not bear fruit is evidence that they are not a part of Him. This is going to be hard to hear, and it was hard for me to write. But the truth is, some of the most difficult people to ever reach with the gospel are not those outside the walls of the church. Some of the most difficult people to reach with the gospel are those who have sat in the pews of the church for years, who bear no fruit of Christ in their life, but because of their close association with Jesus, they believe themselves to be saved. Judas is an example of that. Judas is someone who is as close to Jesus as one could possibly be and still not have salvation in Him or believe in Him. In that day, if somebody would have asked about Judas, is he one of Jesus' disciples? The resounding answer would have been yes. I mean, he walks everywhere with him. He's been with him for 3 years now. So he's connected with Jesus. So he's a disciple of Jesus. And yet at the end of it all, we see who Judas truly is. He has no fruit of Christ in his life. He betrays the innocent Son of God for a handful of silver. Just because you sit in church every week, that does not save you. Just because you read your Bible every day, that does not save you. Just because you even believe some facts about Jesus, that does not save you. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes in James chapter 2, verse 19, that even the demons believe these things, but they are not saved. Salvation means obedience of all that Jesus commands. It means following Jesus and living like Him. It means abiding in Him and bearing fruit that proves you are His disciple, as He says in verse 8. And for those who do not bear fruit, those who do not abide in Jesus, He says they are taken away, they are thrown away until they dry up, and then they are gathered up and cast into the fire and burned. And the truth here is that unfruitful branches, those who are not connected to the vine, Jesus, those who are not saved, they are cast into hell. That is what their experience will be. They are unfruitful, having no connection with Christ. And at the end, they will be totally removed and thrown into hell. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 49 through 50, Jesus warned that at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus says, in protest of that judgment, many will say to Him on that day, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, and in Your name cast out demons, and in Your name perform many miracles? Lord, we seem to have a connection with You. We did all these things in Your name. And the Lord goes on and says, He will reply to them, I never knew you. You did not abide in Me. You had no part with Me. You're a branch that was not connected to Me. I never knew you. Therefore, depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness. This morning, having seen what Jesus says here, you need to understand there are two types of branches that exist in every church. Branches that bear fruit and branches that do not bear fruit. To abide in Christ as a genuine disciple will produce righteous behavior and result in joy and blessing. But those whose profession of faith is false, like that of Judas Iscariot, they will be fruitless and ultimately cast into hell. And so recognizing this reality from Jesus, I have to ask, are you connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ? Just as blueberry bushes are to produce blueberries, followers of Jesus are to produce the fruit of abiding in Jesus. They pray, they glorify God with their life, they love God and others, and they will be people of joy. They will have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control in their life. And so if today you realize that you are not connected to the true vine, or if you have thought you were, but now you realize you never have been connected to the true vine, then repent of your sinfulness, call out to Jesus to save you, and then take up this life of obedience in following Him as Lord and Savior. And we would love to talk to you about that. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time of response. And in that moment, if you will come down front, I would love to talk to you about what that looks like, about what it means to be a Christian, about what it means to surrender your life to Christ and be saved. And if you're not comfortable walking down in front of everybody, I get that. Grab me after the service and let's talk. It is only through a connection with Jesus, only through abiding in Jesus, that you can be given eternal life and salvation. To my Christian brothers and sisters, I urge you continue to grow in Christ-likeness. Embrace the pruning of the Father. Abide in it, for it is for your benefit. Is the Father's pruning fun? No. But it is necessary if you want to grow and be more like Christ. It's necessary if we want the world to know that we are followers of Christ. So let us grow. Let us be fruitful for the Father's glory, our good, and for the good of a lost world that needs to see genuine Christians who are full of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Let us grow in Him, so that God will be glorified, and so the world will see what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. Pray with me. God, we come to You now. And Lord, as we have looked at Your Word, You have spoken and said that as long as the church has existed, even back to the disciples of Jesus, there have been branches who were connected to Jesus and abide in Jesus and are fruitful. But there are also branches who are not connected to Jesus, do not abide in Jesus, and are unfruitful. And the experience of those branches are different. For the fruitful branches, they will be fruitful. They will grow. They will produce the fruit of Christ in their life for Your glory, for the good of those around us, so that people will see and know who You are and know what it means to be a follower of Christ. For those not connected to Christ, those who do not abide in Christ, their experience will be an unfruitful life and ultimately an eternity in hell. But right now, in this moment, that can change. Their eternity can change. Their unfruitfulness, their lack of connection with You, Lord Jesus, can change. If they will repent of their sin, place their faith in You, Jesus, trust in Your atoning work to forgive them of their sin, they can be saved. And they can be connected with You and abide in You and become fruitful for You. I pray that they would do that. I pray for my Christian brothers and sisters and myself that we would continue to be fruitful. That, Father, as You continue to prune us, we would abide in that pruning. We would welcome that pruning, even though it's not fun. May we be reminded that it is for our good, so that we will be more like Christ. And through that, may You be glorified. And may the lost see genuine Christians who live out their faith each and every day. Holy Spirit, now work in our hearts. May we respond as You lead us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.